Our souls have to be in that state as much as possible, the state of grace. And in order for us to be in the state of grace, we know very well that we have to follow the Ten Commandments. In the first volume of the Book of Heaven, our Lord Jesus takes Luisa Picaretta basically through the virtues. And in order for the virtues to flourish in us, again, we have to incline our souls towards the divine law, the Ten Commandments. So the one who steals, you know, the neighbor's wife, the one who steals the neighbor's wife, not only breaks the seventh commandment, but the other commandment as well, that tells us you shall not desire your neighbor's goods, right? So to steal, again, is not only about material things, about money, about goods. It involves reputation. When people commit adultery, impurity, it steals. I often tell the people also, you know, the married couples, when you deprive your children from receiving the sacraments on time, you are in a way stealing from them the grace that God has prepared for them, because you are responsible for your children. And they by themselves, they cannot go and receive the grace because they are under the parents, and the parents are responsible. So all the graces that these souls should be receiving in the young age, and they do not receive, right? In a way, they are stealing. They are stealing the love of God from the children. So again, it doesn't involve only material things, money, but it involves other things, reputation. When we gossip, you know, when we bear false witness, when we do this, right, we are stealing the reputation of the others. And this is connected with the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. So we see that all these commandments, they are intertwined. They are connected. They are not really separated. They are related with each other. And again, I want to go back to the image that I gave you in the other classes to see your soul, to see your soul as that magnificent, magnificent temple that is in you, right? And that magnificent temple, it has columns that it sustained that temple. And the Ten Commandments are those columns that sustain that temple. In the center of that temple, there is an altar. And from that altar, that has to be purified. That has to be in the state of grace, right? That altar that has to be purified and offered to the Lord, that it has to be consecrated to the Lord, which it is consecrated in the sacrament of baptism. We are consecrated to God. So from that altar, the creature offers praise, glory, honor, adoration, thanksgiving to God. So from that altar, we worship God, right? And through that altar, right, we elevate our prayers, our offerings to God, our desire for Him to bestow upon this temple that is our soul, that has this consecrated altar to the Lord, this gift that we all know, the gift of living in the divine will. So this temple has to be purified, right? It has to have a good foundation. So these are the foundations, in a way. We see the law. In this temple, the law, the divine law, has to be written in all of us. So when we look at this commandment, then it is important for us to see that we also steal, you know, from our own selves. We steal from our own selves when we become impure, right? One of the sins that the Lord really detests, and we see this through the Book of Heaven, is impurity. And He will tell us in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. In other classes, we already established also that The reward for those who are pure is to see the face of God. The Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure, for they shall see God. So the reward for purity is the eternal vision of God. In heaven, we also establish that in heaven, nothing can enter that is imperfect, because heaven is perfection. So in the same way that nothing can enter into heaven because it is perfection, it will be very difficult to have the possession of this gift that is offered to us through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, to possess the will of God in us, operating as it was operating in our Lord Jesus, if there is disorder in us. Because again, we go to the book of Genesis that we also established in previous classes, that if we go to the book of Genesis, we see that God is order, is the first thing that we see in the book of Genesis, the first and second chapters. And it is also what our Lord Jesus is doing in the soul of Luisa Picarreta. It is bringing order and the virtues, ordaining the soul towards the virtue, the life of virtues, so that this gift can be bestowed in her soul. And then she will come to the possession later on in the later volumes. We see that she, once she is formed, then she is practicing this gift. And then she reaches to that point of possessing that gift. So that's where we want to arrive, to the possession of that gift in our souls, to the possession of that divine life operating in us as it was operating in our Lord Jesus, according to what we read in the book of heaven. So remember, we are temples of God. The soul then cannot fall into sin. Or at least we have to do the best as that we can do so that we remove ourselves from that state of sinfulness and to be in friendship with God, right? And we are trying to do this, studying the divine law, the Ten Commandments. And we also mentioned that in the Old Testament, of course, there was orders, and the Ten Commandments are given to the people to bring them back to the order, right, to obedience. Now, our Lord Jesus not only wants order and that obedience, he wants perfection, perfection, holiness, sanctity, through, right, the law and through the sacraments, through the church. So for that, we have to, again, study the Ten Commandments, to practice those, to be aware of those. And we go back also to our reference that we established in the first classes that we are using in our classes, Exodus 20. We find there also the giving of the law to Moses. So let's move now on the eighth commandment that tells us you shall not bear false witness. You shall not lie, right? And in this, right, in breaking this commandment, we see that it calls us to be honest. Honesty, right? Honesty has to be in all of us. And honest with ourselves, honest in the way we deal with others, and honesty, right, in dealing with our Lord, with God. This virtue, we need it, right? We need it because it is necessary for all vocations. It is necessary in marriage. It is necessary in the priesthood. It is necessary in the consecrated life. It is necessary for every baptized, for every person to be honest. The person, right, who lies, the person who lies uses cruelty, shows cruelty. Why cruelty? Because, you know, the person who lies, it kills. The person kills, killing the reputation of people, In lying involves hate sometimes, you know. People are full of hate, then they lie. They make up things. We gossip. And hate is already, right? Hate is already pointing us towards perdition. It's pointing to the soul of perdition. So we don't want to go there. We want to be honest in everything. Honesty, honesty, and honesty. And for this, it requires, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in the first volume again of the Book of Heaven, I want you to be upright, with one eye looking at me and the other looking at what you are doing, but never lose the sight of me, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in the first volume of the Book of Heaven. So again, to enter into this study, we have to know that these, all the commandments, they are intertwined, they are connected. So I want to encourage all of you to study the law, to really reflect upon it as in the book of Exodus tells us to reflect upon them, because the reward of following the law is the blessing up to the 1,000 generations, our Lord tells, God tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 20. The divine law, the Ten Commandments, right, they point us towards the light, towards the divine gift that is offered to us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta. Why? Because the divine law teaches us obedience, right? And we know that it was through the disobedience of Adam and Eve that we lost the gift that now is being offered to us in the Book of Heaven. We already know that our Lord and the Blessed Mother, they reverse the disobedience of Adam and Eve. That's why it is possible for us now to receive this gift, because our Lord has restored that through his obedience, his perfect obedience to the Father. We find that in the gospel. Now, this gift that we find in the Book of Heaven, in the writings of Luisa Picaretta, requires us perfect obedience, obedience to the Father. And as we read also in the Gospels, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to give fulfillment to the law, to perfect that law in himself. So it is then through the following, right, of these commandments that we will find again that gift that is being given to us now through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. One of the complaints that we find in the Book of Heaven, beginning right away in the first volume, as we read these volumes, we find that our Lord, many times he complains because he doesn't find his space in the heart of the creature, right? Let's go back again to the Book of Genesis. And after he created, the seventh day he rest. We understand that from the writings of Luisa Picaretta that he rests in the soul of his creatures, that God made his little heaven in the soul of his creature. He wanted to rest in that soul who was in the state of total immaculacy, in the total state of grace before the fall. Our Lord Jesus, many times, he complains in the Book of Heaven that the creature has spelled the presence, the divine presence from that soul. So he calls us again, he calls us back. And again, that's the title of the whole, you know, work, the 36 volumes, the call to the creature to go back, right, to go back to the place and to the order into the in which the creature was created. So in order to attain that place, that order, we had to walk the path of Ten Commandments. We find this also in the Book of Heaven. Our Lord forms Luisa in the first 10 volumes on this school. We could say the school of the law and the school of the virtues. So the problem now we see in the world is that the law has died in many of the hearts, or it didn't exist. In many cases, it didn't even exist in the hearts, right, in the souls of the creatures. And we know that the soul that does not possess, right, the divine law, the fear of God, the soul that is without God, is very similar to a savage animal. Our Lord Jesus tells that into the Book of Heaven too. So sanctity, perfection through the law and through the sacraments, order, sanctity, perfection. This is what our Lord calls us now through these books. So sanctity, you know, to achieve in us all the virtues in a heroic way, the virtues in us, in our souls, present, and to live those virtues in a heroic way in our world. That's how we attain that sanctity. And through this gift, we also read in the Book of Heaven that through these gifts, through the gift of the writings of Elizabeth Carreta, through the gift that is offered to us, living in the divine will, when we possess this gift, all the virtues are exercised. All the virtues grow in us with every single act. Because the soul that possesses this gift, right, possesses the source of everything. And since the soul possesses that gift, then the powers of the soul, one of the powers of the soul is the will. We know that when the human will is united to the divine will, it's able to produce good acts. We know that the fruits of the human will are acts. When they are in line with the law, the Ten Commandments, when they are in line with God's will, then we can say those are acts that give praise, glory, honor, adoration, thanksgiving to God, because they are acts that are united with God's will. So they cannot be, you know, evil acts, because the presence of the divine life is there in a more perfectly united through the possession of this gift. So have in mind that notion too, that the fruits of the human will are acts. When this human will is inclined towards the divine, towards the law, and when the will is united with the will of God, then these acts, they become in a way perfect acts. We read this in the Catechism, number 525, that our Lord Jesus is able to repeat his life in us. Our Lord Jesus is able to repeat his life in us through this gift. We read this in the commentary of the Our Father in the third petition. We ask God the Father to unite ourselves, our will to that of his Son. To unite our will to that of his Son so that he may accomplish, right, in us the work of salvation. So through us he may accomplish that work. So all of this we have to have in mind when we study both the gift that is being offered to us through the writings and also the Ten Commandments. We cannot forget the law. We cannot forget the law. We see that for the just, right? We are called to be honest. We are called to speak always the truth, not to lie, not to bear false witness. In other words, to become just. For the one who is just, you know, the one who is just possesses the crown, right? The crown of justice. And imagine that crown has 10 little diamonds. Well, each of the commandments is one little diamond. So the one who is just possesses that crown, the crown of justice. We can say this about Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, right now we are in the year of Saint Joseph. You know, Saint Joseph descends from the line of David. David, the great king that was loved by God so much, right? In all his splendor, in all his magnificence, he did a lot, but he didn't deserve, in a way, he wasn't called to the honor of be the protector of the child Jesus, the Son of God. But because of his justice, and because God saw him that he was a just man, he deserved to be the foster father of the child Jesus. Solomon, in all his wisdom, he was called to build the house of God, to build the house for God, but not to be the protector of the living God. That was reserved to Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph, who followed the law. We see this through the gospel. The few references that we have about Saint Joseph, we know that he went to the temple. He fulfilled the law, the Mosaic law, what it was required for them to do. So justice abiding him. So of him, we can say that he possessed the crown, right? The crown of justice. And that crown, imagine it has 10 little diamonds, each diamond representing, right? Representing one of the commandments. So let's go back to our image that we are using for this study. The magnificent temple that has 10 columns, our soul, right? If those columns are strong and are built, sustaining the temple, our soul will not collapse, will not go into perdition. It will be able, right, to receive that light, to stand erect always, to receive that light that comes from this gift. We will be ready to receive this gift. So this is what we are called to follow. I don't know if we are going to have a chance to cover the rest of the commandments tonight. I wanted to finish tonight with most of them. We have been talking about them. Last time I explained number 6 and 10. Tonight I want to mention something about the 9 commandments. You shall not desire your neighbor's good. And again, this is very related with the 6th commandment. It is very related with lust. When somebody desires somebody's things or somebody's wife, right, is again lust is involved, adultery, impurity. And we know that lust, impurity, is the leprosy of the soul that the Lord really detests. And we see this throughout the book of heaven. So how do we attain, right, the way of perfection that our Lord calls us to be in the Gospels? How do we attain that perfection that we are called to live, that holiness, that universal call of holiness with this gift? Well, if we prepare our soul through the commandments, we study the gift, and we unite our acts. Remember, the acts are the fruits of the human will. If the human will is united in union with the will of God, then they become perfect acts that are able to glorify God, as we see in the rounds of creation. They give praise, glory, honor, adoration, thanksgiving to God. They return to God what is due to God at his own level. And we can join those acts, right, through the acts of Jesus. The acts are the fruits of the human will. The human will produces acts. And when the human will, the soul, when the soul is governed by the law, the soul is able to produce through the will acts of love, charity, pleasing to God. So that's why our Lord tells us, love your neighbor, forgive. Love and forgive. If somebody blasphemes, if somebody says lies about you, love and forgive. The soul who is united with God cannot hate. So we don't want to follow into vice. We want to move on to the life of virtue, using the Ten Commandments as a bridge to go to that life, and then using this wonderful gift that is given to us through the writings of Luisa Picaretta to unite ourselves with God to give him praise or glory, honor, and adoration. So this is how all of them, they are related in a very simple way that I wanted just to explain you. I don't want this to be simplistic, but I think sometimes we have to simplify things in order for us to really understand how simple our faith is and how the Lord, as he tells in the writings of Luisa Picaretta, he doesn't want us to be burdened with this gift. He wants our will so that he can do everything to us. But this will, this soul, has to be in the state of grace so that the will, the intellect, and the memory, so they, the powers of the soul that we call, so they can give praise, glory, honor, and adoration, the creature praising, adoring God through the powers of the soul. So that's why we also see in the gospel, in the Canticle of Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord. Because it is through the soul. It is through the soul that we give praise, glory, and adoration. It is through the senses, through the powers of the soul. In theology, we call it powers of the soul. The will, the intellect, the memory. So the soul is able to magnify God, to magnify it, to bring to the perfect, to the eternal, the simple acts that we humans do. They can be elevated to the divine. But in order for us to receive that gift, we have to follow the divine law that is given to us. that we are all called to follow this law. So the law expresses the love of God for the people, for all of us. The law is designed to protect us and to keep us from destroying our own selves. The law is designed so that we can have a relationship with God. In there, we find the fatherly voice that tells us, come back to the orders. Come back to the order in which you were created. So I don't know if you have questions. I hope I didn't confuse you more this afternoon, this evening. Again, you know, this class is very, very simple, perhaps a little bit simplistic, but I really want just to imprint in all of you that this is necessary in order for us to advance into the volumes that we are going to be studying, and that you can follow too also through the website that we are doing the right now. We're in volume 23 of the Book of Heaven, very advanced in that volume. Luisa is already living in the gift of the divine will. She's already formed into that gift. But remember that it took years for her to move to that state, to that spiritual state. Our Lord Jesus began with very simple things in the Book of Heaven in volume 1. So this is our platform, the Ten Commandments, to be able to continue our study. So anybody want to comment? Let's open the floor for comments. A little bit of discussion questions, and just remember that they have to be related to our study, and the purpose of our class is not really to give answers to particular questions, you know, that is the for